Welcome to the Next Steps Bible Reading Podcast. We are in the book of 2 Thessalonians today. So if you find the New Testament after the Gospels, you have Acts, Romans, 1 and 2 Corinthians, Galatians, Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, 1 and 2 Thessalonians. So after Colossians, you have 1 and then 2 Thessalonians. We're going to read the whole book. Let's see, it is only 3 chapters, not long. I'm going to read it, make some devotional pauses, think about some application at the end, and then close in prayer. And I encourage you to do that right along with me. Let's begin with prayer. Father, thank you for your word. And this book of 2 Thessalonians does not sound too familiar, Father, to most of us. So help us to understand what's here and what we're supposed to do with it today. In Jesus' name, amen. 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. Paul, Silas, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians, in God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace and peace to you from God the Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We ought always to thank God for you, brothers and sisters, and rightly so, because your faith is growing more and more, and the love of all of you have for one another is increasing. All right, so that's good. I mean, he often begins with his letters with a greeting. That's the Apostle Paul writing. He says something encouraging to them. And that's what he's doing here. Verse 4, therefore, among God's churches, we boast about your perseverance and faith in all the persecutions and trials you are enduring. So they, like many first century Christians, were going through persecution and suffering. Verse 5, all this is evidence that God's judgment is right, and as a result, you will be counted worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering. God is just. He will pay back trouble to those who trouble you and give relief to you who are troubled and to us as well. This will happen when the Lord Jesus is revealed from heaven in blazing fire with his powerful angels. Now that's something we're still waiting for. Verse 8, he will punish those who do not know God and do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus. They will be punished with everlasting destruction and shut out from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of his might. On the day he comes to be glorified in his holy people and to be marveled at among all those who have believed. This includes you because you believed our testimony to you. With this in mind, we constantly pray for you that our God may make you worthy of his calling and that by his power he may bring to fruition your every desire for goodness and your every deed prompted by faith. We pray this so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, so he's talking about, you know, blessings if they will do the right thing, if they will honor God by faith. He's not saying this is how you earn your salvation. In fact, he's saying, you know, you're saved if you believed what we preached to you. In the future, God is going to deliver them. In the future, God is going to bring exact judgment. But for now, live for God with all you have, and even in the midst of suffering. Chapter 2. Concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our being gathered to him, we ask you, brothers and sisters, not to become easily unsettled or alarmed by the teaching allegedly from us, whether by a prophecy or by word of mouth or by letter, asserting that the day of the Lord has already come. So some were saying, hey, this judgment has already been here. Look at the signs. Look at what's going on. Paul's saying no. Verse 3, don't let anyone deceive you in any way, for that day will not come until the rebellion occurs and the man of lawlessness is revealed, the man doomed to destruction. He will oppose and will exalt himself over everything that is called God or is worshipped, so that he sets himself up in God's temple, proclaiming himself to be God. This is good, because this is some things even today people are talking about. When's the end going to come and what's going to happen? Well, most likely the man of lawlessness here refers to the Antichrist, the one connected to the Antichrist, who's going to set himself up to be worshipped. And we're going to know it. Verse 5, don't you remember that when I was with you, I used to tell you these things? And now you know what is holding him back so that he may be revealed at the proper time. For the secret power of lawlessness is already at work, but the one who now holds it back will continue to do so until he is taken out of the way. And when the lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord Jesus will overthrow with the breath of his mouth and destroy by the splendor of his coming, the coming of the lawless one will be in accordance with how Satan works. He will use all sorts of displays of power through signs and wonders that serve the lie, and all the ways the wickedness deceives those who are perishing. They perish because they refuse to love the truth and so be saved. For this reason, God sends them a powerful delusion so that they will believe the lie, and so that all will be condemned who have not believed the truth, but have delighted in wickedness. It's very interesting how God, who is in sovereign control, allows Satan to have his reign and rule, but also is involved in making sure those who are saved know the truth. And when people reject the truth at a certain time, they will not be able to see it. Verse 13, but we always ought to thank God for you, brothers and sisters loved by the Lord, because God chose you as first fruits to be saved through the sanctifying work of the Spirit and through belief in the truth. He called you to this through our gospel, that you might share in the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ. So then, brothers and sisters, stand firm and hold fast to the teachings we passed on to you, whether by word of mouth or by letter. May our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Chapter 3. As for other matters, brothers and sisters, pray for us that the message of the Lord may spread rapidly and be honored just as it is with you. And pray that we may be delivered from wicked and evil people, for not everyone has faith. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we command you, brothers and sisters, to keep away from every believer who is idle and disruptive and does not live according to the teaching you receive from us. For you yourselves know how you ought to follow our example. We were not idle when we were with you, nor did we eat anyone's food without paying for it. On the contrary, we worked night and day, laboring and toiling, so that we would not be a burden to any of you. We did this not because we do not have the right to such help, but in order to offer ourselves as a model for you to imitate. For even when we were with you, we gave you this rule: the one who is unwilling to work shall not eat. We hear that some among you are idle and disruptive. They are not busy. They are busy bodies. Such people we command and urge in the Lord Jesus Christ to settle down and earn the food they eat. And as for you, brothers and sisters, never tire of doing what is good. Take special note of anyone who does not obey our instruction in this letter. Do not associate with them in order that they may feel ashamed. Yet do not regard them as an enemy, but warn them as you would a fellow believer. That's great. When you see those among you, even in the church, who are not doing what God asks to do, you confront them. You don't pretend like everything's okay. At the same time, you don't treat them as enemies. You treat them as a believer who has gone out of the way. Verse 16. Now may the Lord of peace himself give you peace at all times and in every way. The Lord is with all of you. I, Paul, write this greeting in my own hand, which is the distinguishing mark in all my letters. This is how I write. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. It's possible that Paul had a eye issue and maybe wrote with large handwriting, and that's what he's referring to. We don't know exactly. Well, that's 2 Thessalonians. I mean, it's pretty quick. It deals with some things in the future. It deals with things in the present for that church 2,000 years ago and certainly for us today. What is it that draws your attention in your heart for application? I tell you, what sticks out to me is in chapter 3. Let me read verses 3 to 5. But the Lord is faithful, and he will strengthen you and protect you from the evil one. We have confidence in the Lord that you are doing and will continue to do the things we command. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. That's my prayer for myself and for each of you, that God would protect you from the evil one, that you would keep your eyes and heart on him. I'm confident that he is going to do what he promises. He's going to do the work he promised to do in you and through you. May the Lord direct your hearts into God's love and Christ's perseverance. Be like Christ. Persevere. Endure. Hang in there. Do what he's asked you to do in this short life, because Jesus is coming soon. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for this little book of 2 Thessalonians. A reminder of the promise that you are coming. You're going to make everything right. But until then, we're in a spiritual battle. And Father, you've given us everything we need to fight this spiritual battle in an honoring way. Help us to persevere Lord, direct our hearts into your love and into your Son's perseverance. Help us to be like Jesus today. In Jesus' name, amen.